بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're still studying the chapter that deals with inheritance. And hadith number 299. Who will read? Yes, brother.
Narrated Usama bin Zayd رضي الله تعالى عنه. I asked, O Allah's Prophet, عليه الصلاة والسلام, will you stay in your house in Makkah? He replied, has Aqil left any property or house? Then he said, a Muslim doesn't inherit a kafir, and a kafir doesn't inherit a Muslim.
Very well. This hadith is referring to a number of issues, but we would like to limit our study of this hadith to the things that deal with inheritance, so that we would not waste much time on side issues. But just for general information, Aqil, what is his relation to the Prophet ﷺ? He's the cousin. So Abu Talib, the one who took care of the Prophet ﷺ and defended him, had four children known to us, two that embraced Islam at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, Ali and Ja'far. Talib and Aqil were not Muslim when the Prophet ﷺ migrated. Talib died in the Battle of Badr and Aqil remained. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he went for the conquest of Mecca, Usama ibn Zayd, may Allah be pleased with him and with his father, asked him, will you stay in your home, which was your home? And he told him, what home do I have? After I migrated, Aqil came and took everything. He's my cousin, so he took my house because I migrated. So now he possesses it and I have no possession and no real estate, nothing to own in Mecca anymore. Khalas, I migrated and everything was taken away from me. Now, then the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that a Muslim does not inherit a kafir and a kafir does not inherit a Muslim. And this is a general ruling, meaning is there any exceptions that the Prophet mentioned to us, alayhi salatu wasalam? Then it has to be carried out as it is. And this is the verdict of the majority of scholars. They say that a kafir does not inherit a Muslim, and a Muslim does not inherit a kafir, a disbeliever. And this is known to the scholars as the preventions, the obstacles that prevent a person from inheriting. And they say that there are three things that prevent people from inheriting. One, difference in religion, as we see here in this hadith. So if a person reverts to Islam and his father is still a kafir, a disbeliever, and the father dies, it so happens that father is a multimillionaire. And this is a test from Allah, because the son, who is barely looking for a job or working with low pay, minimal pay, his father dies leaving $10 million or $100 million. What this revert Muslim would feel? Ah, now I'm rich. No, you're not. You're a Muslim. You can't inherit. Huh? I cannot inherit. I need the money. I need this. The majority of scholars say that this is not permissible. The other way around, if a father embraces Islam and his son is still a kafir, and the son dies, the father does not take anything because the difference of religion. Is this the consensus of scholars? There are few of the scholars who differ with this, and some of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ who differ with this. But we give them the excuse that they did not know and did not hear about this hadith. Some scholars say it is prohibited for a non-Muslim to inherit a Muslim, but a Muslim to inherit from a non-Muslim is permissible. Why? Because Islam is a higher religion. So we may benefit, but others may not benefit from us. And this is not, again, authentic, and it is not correct, because the majority of scholars follow the hadith and the hadith is crystal clear. So this is number one from the things that prevent a person from inheriting from the other. The second reason is murder or killing. If one kills his blood relative or his wife or his father or his son, and he does this deliberately, he is deprived automatically from inheriting. A son who is not obedient to his father and the father gets angry, he takes the gun and he kills his son. Does this happen? No, it happens a lot. It happens worldwide, but it is not something that is encouraged. It happens. A man cheats on his wife. His wife takes the shotgun and kills him. Can she inherit him? She says, Alhamdulillah, my husband had died. Now I can inherit 1/4 of what he had left or 1/8. No, this is one of the reasons of depriving him. This is a consensus. Deliberate killing is the consensus that you do not inherit anything. What about accidental killing? Is there any accidental killing? Yes. You're driving, your father is next to you, something unfortunate happens and the car rolls over and your father dies. It's not your mistake, yani. You're driving speed limit, etc. Maybe driving a little bit fast, but definitely you neither intended to kill your father nor yourself, and an accident happens. Scholars say that he is deprived from inheritance as well. Why? It's by mistake. I said, yes, by mistake, but there is a possibility. There is a possibility, and they say that any participation in such killing would deprive that person from inheriting. The third obstacle is slavery. So a slave does not inherit a free man, and a free man does not inherit a slave. Why? Let's assume a father is free and his son is slave, and the son dies. Who's the owner of what the slave possesses? The master. So the father does not have the right to say, I need my son's possession. It's not his. The opposite is the same thing. If a free man dies, leaving a son who's a slave and other siblings who are free, the slave son does not inherit anything, because if he were to inherit, who would get the inheritance? The master. And this is not the case. So these are the three obstacles that prevent a person from inheriting. And this is what the hadith of Usama ibn Zayd is all about. The third hadith, hadith number 300. Yes.
Narrated Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, Allah's Prophet forbade selling of allegiance or giving it away as a gift.
Okay, allegiance in Arabic is known as al-wala, and we spoke about this when we discussed the hadith of Barira, may Allah be pleased with her, who was bought by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, and then freed. So the Prophet is telling us, alayhi salatu wasalam, here that this contract of allegiance cannot be sold and cannot be given as a gift. It is exactly like kinship. So I have a brother, for example, my sibling. I cannot go to the brother here and tell him, listen, my sibling is very rich, and when he dies, I will inherit from him so and so. So I'll give you a discount, 50% of what he, give it to me now, and when he dies, you take my inheritance from him. Is this allowed? You cannot sell your kinship. You cannot sell your name. Likewise with allegiance, with al-wala. If you freed someone, you cannot go to the people. Now, I freed this slave of mine. Let's assume his name is Ahmed. I freed him, and now he's a free man. His allegiance is to me. I'm his master previously. And mashallah, within 5 years, Ahmed became one of the city's top millionaires, meaning that if he dies, I will inherit. Can I go to the people and say, listen, who wants to buy this allegiance of Ahmed? I'm willing to sell it for him. No. Prophet says this is not for sale. And it's not even for giving as a gift. So I cannot go to anyone and say, take my allegiance, becomes yours. No. It is something so close like kinship that cannot be sold and cannot be given away. Any questions? Okay, we opened the floor for questions because last time In the last program, we did not have enough time. If you have any questions about the topic, go ahead, please.
Assalamu alaikum.
Salam.
My question is that if a son is a Muslim and the father is also Muslim, he inherits the property of the father. But then he converts to a non-Muslim. So the property he has, he still has it. So should the property be taken away, he still will use it?
Okay, the question is clear. A person, while being a Muslim, inherited his father when he died. And he took a property, which was his father's, now it's his. After some time, he changes his religion. So do we take the property from him or not? Again, these questions are not to be asked theoretically because you do not implement such cases unless you have the rule of law. So you're either in a Muslim country or a non-Muslim country. If you're in a non-Muslim country, you cannot do anything. Khalas, the property is his. In a Muslim country, his act of apostasy has to be judged by a panel of judges that the Muslim ruler appoints. We have a short break. Stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.